Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Connections Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Welcome to the Commercial Connections Podcast. Hi, this is Alex Ruggieri, and my guest today is Peter Kageyama. Peter is a community and economic development consultant based in St. Petersburg, Florida. He looks at what makes cities lovable. I said lovable, not livable, but that's part of it. What motivates citizens to do extraordinary things for their places, and how some cities use that energy to fill in the gaps that official city makers have left when resources disappear. Peter speaks about how we can turn people's emotional engagement with their place into tangible action and use that excitement and energy as a much-needed community resource for development. He is the co-founder and producer of the Creative Cities Summit. Please welcome Peter Kageyama.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, I am so excited about our interview today. I had the wonderful opportunity of sitting in front of the podium and listening to you speak in San Francisco at the National Association of Realtors caffeinated commercial breakfast. And yes. I was totally fascinated by your subject matter. And you talked about this book that you wrote, For the Love of Cities. Can you tell us a little bit about what you shared with us that day?
Sure. Well, the premise is kind of simple in many ways. It's about why it's a good thing when more people fall in love with their places. And I think we can all sort of relate to love and loving someone and hopefully loving some place. The question becomes then, okay, if we think that's important, then maybe how do we do that? What are the things that trigger love and affection in places? Why is this important to us, you know, from an economic standpoint, as well as just being maybe good for the heart, good for the soul, kind of thing. And it turns out that we are in relationships with our places, and the relationship with our place is not nearly as examined as that relationship between husbands and wives, business relationships. But the relationship that we have with our places, I think, is absolutely critical, and we all probably need to work on that relationship and make it better.
Yeah, well, what got me was how you talked about people relate themselves in terms of their place. I mean, and I never thought about it. It's so obvious. But when people think about, when you introduce yourself, you say, well, and I'm from Chicago, and they might live 45 miles away from the Loop or the beach,
right,
or whatever, Miracle Mile. But
right,
they identify with themselves. They live out in Skokie, right? But when they talk to people and they're traveling, they say, oh, we're from Chicago, or whatever
from,
it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that is really interesting. It becomes an anchor for us, doesn't it? Well, how does all this apply to the development business? Because our commercial practitioners, and I think I told you that I consider your work kind of like a wonderful arrow for our quiver, a wonderful tool that we can be armed with,
yeah,
almost a secret weapon, when we talk with developers, when we talk with the cities and the planners and the people that we work with in the commercial game, in ways that are enlightened, that many,
yeah,
people wouldn't have the benefit of if they didn't read For the Love of Cities or hear some of the things you're telling us today. So how does it apply?
Well, if you think about the commercial real estate sector, you are essentially in the third spaces, business. It's, it's not home. It may be work, but it's work, and it is that other space that we exist in when we're out and about and engaging with our communities. And so this third space, position, I think, becomes really critical. And it's one of those things that, and I think using the commercial real estate eye of paying attention to small things that can have a really big impact on the way people, feel about their places. I think you guys are already intuitively doing these kinds of things. The real estate industry, you've got to have your curb appeal. You've got to make sure your foundations are good. You have those types of things you take care of. But you guys also pay attention to the small little details that maybe aren't necessarily immediately obvious, but they're the kind of things that somebody who's going to, you know, lease that space, buy that space, they notice those things. And those little things can be what tips a space from a sale to a no sale. And they can also be what tips a city from being a, you know, it wasn't my kind of place to, I love this place. It is a lot of times it is the accumulation of those little, sometimes unnoticed and sometimes even unappreciated things, but we do feel them in a different way. And I think you guys are, like I said, intuitively you're in that business.
Well, I'll give you an example that occurred to me when you were talking, because you were talking about this thing where they did in this one city, and it was the thing with the mice, and they had these little sculptures, and they were named, and they were placed around in different places, and it became kind of a fun thing, you know, kind of like the painted ponies out west, or the cows, you know, in some cities that they paint. But I remember we had a project one time. It was a commercial project, and they were trying to figure out, well, what can we do to better position this? Because we had to fill the building. It was an office building, and we're in the Midwest, south of Chicago, about 3 hours, out in the middle of the prairie. And this was like 25 years ago or so. We were trying to come up, what could we do, you know? And they were working on the landscaping budget, and at that time, you know, you brought in the Japanese yews, and you rolled out, you know, the sod, and, you know, and you watered it all, and you hope it looked good when it was done. And somebody said, hey, we live in the prairie. Why don't we get some natural prairie grasses and let those grow in the front of the building? And it wouldn't cost us a fortune the way all this landscaping stuff is going to cost us. And at the same time, it's going to set off the building in a unique and interesting way. And that's what they did. And they had all this pampas grass and, you know, fescue and all these things. And suddenly the building, it didn't cost anything. Yeah. It was a little thing. But
because it felt authentic. And it's that feeling that you're trying to get at. You know, sometimes we work really hard to try to create something that is, you know, that's maybe a little artificial. But what, like from that story, what you did is you just sort of, like, look, you revealed the character that was already there. And when you're able to do that, and oftentimes it's something as simple as, look, this is native grass. This is native, you know, to this place. It just feels, the result feels different for our places. You know, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, people are saying it's that aftertouch. It's that little thing maybe at the end. And, you know, and public art is one of those things that sort of gets rolled up in there. And, you know, and landscape. And unfortunately, I think those things should be thought about, you know, much earlier in the process.
I agree.
Than at the end. And I do think that we need to rethink some of that stuff. I actually think that those types of things, maybe we need to loosen up a little bit, and we need to make the public art and the landscaping, I think if we made it a little more fun, and if we started to bring fun back into the conversation about how we approach this stuff, you know, it can't all be about the serious, you know, job of building spaces and building cities. You know, that's serious and that's hard work. But if we found a way to add some fun and surprise and delight into that mix, I'm convinced, I know you will have better results. People will feel them in a different way.
Yeah, and you know what? We are on, you know, this is going to be an incrimination, but sometimes as commercial practitioners, we take ourselves way too seriously. And I think the development community, they get all wrapped up in the dollars and the seriousness and the zoning and all. And you're right. We need to have, if we don't have that spark, that element of fun. I think about, you know, these great companies like Apple and Google, and they've got basketball hoops and cafeterias and skateboard paths through the, you know, factory. And, you know,
well,
hey, we can use some of that.
Well, Google has a T-Rex in its in the Googleplex. If you go in there, in one of the courtyards, on the inner courtyards, they have a life-size I don't think it's an actual, it's Google. It actually could be actual T-Rex bones, but they have a T-Rex there. You go, why? What the heck? Why would you want to have a T-Rex in, you know, your place? It's like, because it sends a message. It creates a feeling. It creates something that's memorable. You know,
when you want to have a sense of place. Now, you talked about that, and I hope we could touch on that a little bit, this idea of the sense of place, the sense of, I can't remember what you call it, there was a term for it, I can't remember, but this whole idea of taking what you have and creating a sense of place when you're a city or when you're a developer.
Yeah, well, it's ownership. It's having a sense that, you know, it's not somebody else's job to make the city a better place. It's my job too. And having that sort of sense that, hey, we are in this together. We will, you know, as a community, as a city, we do rise and fall together, you know, because you can have the best building, you can have the best lot in town, but if the rest of the city is falling apart, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good.
I remember the video that you showed at breakfast, and I've showed it to several people since, about the young man who did this video on in Michigan.
The Grand Rapids Lip Tub, yes.
Yeah, well, it's called
Grand
Lip Tub. Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, and talk about a sense of place. And not only did it showcase in a positive, constructive way the place, but
yes.
I thought it also said something loud and clear about the people.
It did. It rallied them around this idea. The story behind the Lip Tub was Newsweek magazine declared Grand Rapids, Michigan, a dying city. And so they said, you know, what are we going to do about this? And this young guy came up with this idea of this Lip Dub, which is they were lip syncing to the song, you know, American Bye Bye American Pie, Don McLean song. So they're lip syncing to this song. There's 5,000 people involved. It's shot over all throughout the city, and people just they came out. Somebody was, you know, said something bad about our city. Said, look, this is who we are. This is Grand Rapids, and it's just this amazing, authentic response to being declared this dying city. And it really showcases this was something special. And the people who were involved in it, they had to feel this, I'm sure, this immense pride and a sense of, hey, you know, you can't say anything bad about my city. This is who I am. This is not just my, you know, it's not the city. This is me. And that really comes through in that particular video.
Yeah, how can people find that if they're listening to us right now?
If they go to YouTube, just search under Grand Rapids Lip Dub, LIPDUB, and I'm sure you'll find it. It's got millions of hits.
Yeah, that's just awesome. That's just awesome. Well, okay, if we were to say, with regard to your particular perspective on this idea of love, of the sense of place, and the book is called For the Love of Cities, and I think people should go out and get Peter Kageyama's book, For the Love of Cities. I want to say that, because I have a copy. I'm sitting here holding it right here in my hand, and I really enjoy your take on things. What would be the top three things, from your perspective, that would help our commercial practitioners to keep in mind?
Sure. Well, I think that these are kind of universal. I think small things matter. You know, pay attention, you know, to those little details, because that is going to be what flips somebody's perception, you know, from positive to negative based upon a lot of these small things. So, one, small things matter. Two, aim low, which sounds a little counterintuitive, but I often tell people who want to get engaged with their community, who want to do something, they have these great, big, grandiose ideas. It's like, okay, that's great. Why don't you try something a little smaller? Aiming low, do something that's small and manageable, and get some experience, get some confidence, and then go out and maybe try to, you know, swing for the fences and take on the world. And then the last one, as I said before, you got to have fun. City making cannot be all about hard work of the education system and fixing the roads and the transportation system and fighting crime, all of which are incredibly important. Yes, they are. But in the midst of all that, we have to remember that, you know, that we have to have fun with this, and we have to make it interesting and engaging and emotionally satisfying, make it fun.
Yeah, I love that. It reminded me of the story of the family who saved, you know, for a new bathroom, and every year they blew it all on a family vacation, and they never figured it out how important it was until their son wrote home from college, you know, after moving away, and he was talking about all these wonderful memories they had in this vacation, and the wife looked to the husband and said, you know, I just can't imagine our son writing home from college saying, Mom, what a great bathroom we have.
Yep. Well, you know, in my book, talk about this, I say you get no love for fixing potholes. You got to keep fixing the potholes, but you got to, you know, recognize that you're not going to get any love for that. The things that people are going to love about the cities, about the developments, about their projects, are probably going to be those little touches of whimsy and fun and beauty, and that's stuff that really matters to people.
Yeah, that is such great stuff. All right, well, in the last 30 seconds, how can people find your book? How can they find out more about you and all of these wonderful things that you talk about?
For the Love of Cities is available on Amazon.com, also as an e-book. there and check out my website, fortheloveofcities.com, and find us on Facebook, facebook.com/fortheloveofcities.
Fantastic. We have been talking with Peter Kagayama. He is an economic development consultant based in St. Petersburg, Florida. Thank you so much for being with us today on Commercial Connections Podcast.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for being with us on the Commercial Connections Podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.